One of the interesting things about teaching is looking at everybody in terms of their narrative, their story, and how engaged, involved, or trapped people are by their story. Pretty much everyone is profoundly involved with their journey. It's really how this whole thing is structured. You enter into the world and you become deeply, even profoundly interested in your life, in your own life. It's how the world works. Without that, if people were disinterested, totally disinterested, there wouldn't be a world. Nothing would happen. So something is implanted within us that has to do with wants and desires and ambitions and fears and a whole panoply of hopes and desires. It's just built in. And some of those hopes and desires become realized, satisfied. Some of them don't. And you can start seeing, I watch it with my granddaughter. We spent the last week together. And she's learning that you don't get everything you want. And it's an early lesson. And she's trying to figure out, how do I get it? And so one of the things she's discovered is you can try to cry. And I've been watching this amazing thing where she tries to cry and it's completely fake. And then she finds a way into making it real. It becomes a real cry. And the minute it becomes real, my heart breaks and I want to give her what she wants. The fake stuff doesn't work. The real stuff seems to work. So I just start to want to do whatever I can for her. And she knows that that's working, and I'm watching how this is imprinting and how she's going to begin to manipulate the world. Many, many skills that she has already evolved at the age of almost 2. And all of us are much, much older, and we have a lot of skills that we've worked that have been very effective and a lot of skills that have been ineffective. But it's all based on what can we get out of life. And what do we want to avoid in life? And so I sit with each of you and I see you at a particular moment in time where those polarities are at work. You're trying to still want to get something out of life, and there's still things you don't want in life. The don't want in life is pretty simple. You don't want usually pain, suffering, and mostly to leave this place. You don't want that. And what you do want is pleasure, comfort, the ability to enjoy this life. Maybe you want recognition, money. There's a whole list of opportunities that you have. But here's what happens. The things you don't want are exactly what you're going to get. In other words, suffering, pain, and ultimately having to leave here. The things you do want, you may get, but you can't hold on to. You can't. You can have them for a little bit of time. You might even have it for a long time. But ultimately, all of that's going to be gone. So there's this incredible kind of inner struggle that goes on for every single person, every single person in the world. And as you get older, and the stuff that you don't want starts to become more and more prevalent, you really have to begin to go, what is this? What do I do? Everything that I thought I wanted and I didn't get is a level of disappointment, and for some people, living in that disappointment becomes their entire life. I didn't get, I didn't get, I didn't get. And there are people even who are striving at the very end. I used to get emails from a guy who used to come to class who always wanted to be an actor and never ever got the big breaks. And every so often he would get a one-line role on a television show, and he would send emails to everyone he knew. This is his, like, he's on the verge. He was in his 70s. He was on the verge of the big career. Well, you know, that's not going to happen. But he didn't. He kept living for that, for the big break. You can hold on to illusions your whole life. People do hold on to illusions their entire life, up to the very last second. There are people who believe to the very last second that they're never going to die. How do you explain it? So, again, I sit here with each of you somewhere on that spectrum. Somewhere between I didn't get what I want, or I did get what I want, or I still want what I want, and I want to get away from the stuff I don't want, and you're somewhere in that dialogue, and you're sitting here wanting something. You're sitting in this class wanting something. And what is it that you come here to get? What is it you think you're going to actually walk away from in this class? Some of you have been coming for years. I mean, I could ask you, if I won't do it, it's embarrassing probably, but have you ever gotten it? Have you ever gotten what you came here to get? Or do you still think if you work harder and you do it a little bit better, or somewhere, you know, in the next 3 or 4 years, you'll actually get there? You'll arrive at finally getting this thing. And what do you think that thing is that you will get? I mean, you can kind of give it names. That, you know, they call it enlightenment, they call it awakening, they call it peace, bliss, eternal joy, whatever it is you think you're going to get at some point. Why haven't you gotten it? And why do you keep coming here, really? What's the purpose of the effort to come to this place to get this thing you haven't gotten? Now, many of you actually experience when you come here that you are getting something. And the truth is a little bit more mysterious than that. Because you are actually, you are having the experience of getting something, but what really is going on is you're having the true experience of letting go of wanting at all. That's really what's happening. The real joy of being in a meditation class is that for approximately an hour here, you are letting go of wanting anything. You're letting go of the hope that you will take something away from here. You don't know you're doing that, but you're sitting here and you're surrendering. You're trying, and trying is a terrible word actually, but you are, in the best of modes, letting go. And you are being quiet. You are being silent. And in that silence, which you may attain for 10 seconds, 20 minutes, an hour, in the silence of the class, you are actually not being involved in what you want and what you fear. That's the best thing that's going on here. Because for 1 hour out of your life, out of your week, let's put it that way, 1 hour out of your week, you are experiencing not grasping and not feeling aversion to anything. And what does that feel like? Well, one of the wonderful things of doing that in the presence of a teacher, especially a teacher who's been working at letting go of stuff their whole life. So, you know, when I had met Rudy, you know, and I would sit in Rudy's presence, there was such a dynamic of stillness. There was such a dynamic of his presence that you would sit there and let go of your own drama, and you would feel this additional fullness come into you. So there would really be a kind of feeling of something being offered, or transferred to you. You actually get that experience watching television, going to the theater, listening to music, where you get very quiet and somebody else's creative juice washes through you. It's really beautiful when it happens. Somebody else's effort. You get to taste it, you get to sit in the presence of it, and it teaches you, it offers you something. It isn't always pure, simple being, it's just whatever the creative effort represents. You know, you go to a great play, and you come out of that play in some ways transformed. It's a process that goes through the mind, through the ego, it goes through your heart, it goes into your gut, it might even arouse you sexually. You get this incredibly full-bodied sense of having witnessed life. And it's really wonderful. And you go there, and the greatest thing that ever happens in a theater, for me, is the lights go out. And the curtain comes up, and you have just entered someone else's world. And in the end, the lights go down, and there's a kind of gratitude expressed. I don't know why we make noise and do that, but we do. And we say, thank you for taking me on that journey. When you sit with a teacher in a sense is adding to your stillness. And it's fine. It's a good thing. It's wonderful. We love it in life when that is given to us. But we don't leave this world with a teacher. We don't leave this world watching a play. We don't end our lives, come to the end of our lives with all of these people flooding into our system. What we end our lives with is ourself, our still pointed self. And what one really needs to learn to do is be in the stillness that you experience when you sit in this room, to find your way there on your own. And what happens, I find, for many people is they think if they come here, they will get it. If you come here, you'll get this thing. And what I'm saying is, no, you're not getting anything. You're having an opportunity to let go of getting, to let go of wanting to get. And you can do that anywhere. You can do it anywhere. You don't have to come here to let go of wanting to get. You can sit home, you can sit anywhere, and just be still. And you feel the freedom of not wanting, of just being. Just being. It's a totally relaxing, peaceful, beautiful state. What happens after you find that state in yourself is that you sort of desire it. It becomes wanting this thing. And again, it starts to be wanting to have it. And yet, the lesson you start to teach yourself is that I can't have it, I can only be it. I can only be it. How do I be it? I can't sit and meditate all day long. It's just not a good idea. I mean, you can. You can go to a cave, you can go to India, you can go to places where they'll give you 6 months or 3 weeks or 10 days of sitting still. But everyone I know who's ever come out of that experience comes back into the world and goes, oh, I lost it. I lost it. I couldn't bring it out with me. I got to go back to that cave. I got to go back to that retreat and have another 10 days or month of sitting still. And then you become kind of addicted to having something and going to get something that is always, always available. It's just being present in the moment. If you are really present in the moment, what happens is all of your history and all of your future, all of your frightened fear of what might be or desire for something that will be, you let that go and you just be present in this moment. The simplicity of that is so profound and so amazing that most people never do it. Because they think they have to sit in meditation and let everything go. Meditation just shows you that you can do it. But the doing of it is just do it. You don't have to go somewhere to practice it, although maybe you do actually, because the great thing about meditation is it shows you at least it's possible. And then the really important part of spiritual work is bringing that truth or that knowledge base into every day, so that every day you find yourself here and not there. Not trying to get to this thing or that thing, or to avoid this thing or that thing. Just be with what is. Just be here with what is. That really is the spiritual journey. It's what we're all after. And yet, when I sit here as a teacher and I look in each of your eyes, your story comes flooding into me. And I can feel how not here you are. And so I try to, and it's a matter of trying, but at this point it's something I've been doing for years, energize the stillness. Breathe into the stillness inside you and help you feel what that is. It's worth it to experience that. It's worth coming every Sunday, if that's what you need to do, to feel the stillness. Why? Because most of you don't do it during the week or during every opportunity in your life. Most people just don't do it. You don't turn off the radio, you don't turn off the TV, you don't turn off your brain. You're in constant engagement with your story. Constant, unending engagement. And it's so noisy and it's so dramatic and it creates enormous emotional pull. So you feel all these uplifts and all these downdrafts and you feel all this stuff going on all the time. Sometimes it's mild and gentle. You know, if you're watching TV, it's kind of somebody else's story, so you can kind of relax into it, unless it's really intense, and then you're going to be as dramatically involved in that as you are in your own story, which is fun, because at the end it's resolved, it's over, you can turn it off. But your story you can't turn off. You got to live it. And living your story is extraordinary and wonderful, and there's a reason you have a story, there's a reason you can't turn it off, there's a reason you have a life with wishing for and running from stuff. There's a reason. It's because the universe wants you to live this life. So you live it, you enter it, you become part of this life. But if you don't want to suffer your life, if you don't want to think, I hate this life, why am I here? Which happens to many, many people. And especially toward the end of life where things are really being taken away. If you don't want that experience, or if you want to make peace with that experience, what you have to do is find how to become one with it. And becoming one with it turns it into something so vast, so beautiful, so profound, so full of mystery, so full of truth, that spiritual awareness transforms the mundane into the holy, into the divine. The whole goal of my sitting here week after week after week, or somebody sitting here, is to remind you to do this. Because the minute you walk out of this room and you get in your car, you're going to forget it. The story will so overpower you, you will go, you're right back in the story. And if you don't remember to come here, you could actually go back into the story for your entire life with nothing, unless you reach for it, reminding you that it's just a story. It's an amazing story. Your very own life story is an amazing story. It is a participant in the larger truth of being, of the universe. But not to know that is to live for Black Friday and being the first person in line at Walmart. If that's what your life is about, and trust me, many people's lives are about that, the opportunity to recognize what this is very limited. You will go through life in a kind of dreamlike state of suffering. If you can keep this class on your radar, you will have an opportunity every week to kind of nudge yourself out of that kind of dullness, that kind of illusory experience, and to begin to find your way into the deeper truth, which is always, always, always present. That you don't do it is, in a certain sense, a choice. A sense of, well, I went to class on Sunday and that was enough. I got what I wanted. I had my moment. I had my 40 minutes or 40 seconds of absolute stillness, and it was so beautiful. And now I feel that'll last for me for another week. Maybe, but that's not what this is about. What this is about is getting this one simple idea. If you are not living in truth, if you are not living in awareness, if you are not living in a state of gratitude and divine joy, which is not always joyous, by the way, but if you are not living in that, you are not fulfilling what is the unbelievable opportunity of a lifetime. It means you are going through this asleep. You are going through it asleep. Trust me, waking up is much better than being asleep. You know, I spent last week with my granddaughter. We sit out on the train tracks because she loves the choo-choo train and she loves Amtrak. And we sit out there and a train goes by approximately every 15 minutes. So we have a lot of time of sitting. And she doesn't want to walk. She's actually afraid of the train because it's so big and so powerful. But she loves it. So she sits in my lap and I hold her like this. And we just sit. And we talk about the sounds we're hearing. We talk about the moon. We've done a whole big thing on rocket ships and gravity and escaping the Earth. We talk about twigs. I take twigs and I draw faces on them. And we talk to the twigs and they talk to us, and stones. And we have this unbelievably alive, joyous exchange that goes on for as long as we're out there, about an hour, hour and a half. I am so alive to that because she is so alive to that. And the two of us share a presence that is much more infinitely powerful than what normally happens in this class. Because she is present. She's so present. And it won't last forever because it doesn't. She will one day be one of everybody in the room here, and certainly like I was for all the years I sat and sat and sat. But for some reason, I had a hunger not to be in the dream state. I had a hunger to wake up. I had it for years, for decades. And I found the one teacher I found who was vibrantly powerful enough to bring me into a real state of dramatic involvement with this process. The awakening experience only comes, if it comes, because you are so committed, because you want it so badly. It doesn't come to most people standing at Kmart. It doesn't. Can, but it usually doesn't. It happens to people who announce to themselves and announce to the universe, I want this. I want this. And are serious about it. And who don't walk out of the meditation class and turn on the radio and start worrying about what they're going to buy for Christmas. You can do all that, but you want to do it with an awareness, with a willingness to be present to that demand, to that moment, to that reality, the one you're in. Not to the one that's about to come, not to the one that happened yesterday. This one, the only one, only reality you will ever know in truth is the one you're in, now. All the other stuff is just more the memory of what was and the projection of what will be. It has absolutely no bearing on your life other than the fact that a lot of it is occurring in this moment. If you can awaken to the fact that I am remembering or regretting or looking back at what was, or I am consciously looking to the future, then that's great. That's all part of the present. But if you are lost in that and not here, you're missing everything. What it feels like, just so you know, to be present is to be sitting along the railroad track with a little baby in your arm, holding them and feeling a level of love and awareness of every sound, of every image, of every rock, of every twig, and feeling, wow, wow. That's what it feels like all day long, if you want it to. I mean, truly, sometimes it feels horrible. You know, sometimes life feels horrible. But that's okay if you realize feeling horrible is feeling alive. Feeling horrible is being here. Losing everything, which is going to happen, is part of this moment. It happens. It's so extraordinary. To hit my age or Beau's age, you know, we're all getting old here. We're not in the middle of this journey where drama is really ongoing. You're at this point of having to let go of everything, or it's slowly being taken away. It's very different. Everyone will go through that. We'll all go through that. Rosalind knows what I'm talking about. We all know what this is. This is the truth of letting go, not the projection of letting go, because it's all going to fall away. Spiritual life makes it a beautiful process. It's a beautiful process. It's beautiful because it's happening and because it is freeing you into what? Into what? I can only tell you this from my perspective and as a belief and as part of my experience. What it frees you into is something like an eternity of sitting on the railroad track and hugging someone that you love more than life itself. That's what it feels like. Or hugging anyone that you love. Or hugging yourself. Hugging yourself. Something very few people get. Hugging yourself is when yourself comes to comfort you. Your own self comforts you. A great exercise that you can try, this is helpful, when you're suffering, is let yourself talk to you. What would yourself say to you when you're suffering? What would yourself tell you? What would it want to tell you? Try it. Because yourself cares about you more than you can possibly imagine. That's what we ultimately free ourselves into a loving, caring self, the self of all selves, which loves us beyond understanding. That's the journey. That's what you can feel even now in this moment, because it's the ongoing truth. And if you don't feel it, it's just because you are so absorbed in the drama that you haven't been willing to stop and feel this. So let me encourage you to make your spiritual life vibrant and vital and important and central. It's worth it. It's worth it to wake up while you're alive and recognize what life is, rather than wake up at the last moments as you're leaving the world and realizing what it was. You don't have to do that. You can recognize it in this moment and live in the wonder and the mystery of it. You can do that. It's real. It's possible. It's doable. People do it all the time. So do it. Do it. Fight for it. Hunger for it. Battle for it. Bang your head against the wall for it. Whatever you have to do, do it. Any questions?
We've been doing this a long time. Coming here, being here, is a reward, and that's what I come for. I don't come to be something or realize or accomplish something. I've been doing it perhaps long enough to not come for that. But I so do love you and enjoy being in your presence.
All I ask is walk out the door and don't let that go. Because it's not my presence. It's your presence. It's the presence itself. It has nothing to do with Bruce at all. Truly, Bruce would limit it into nothing. Its presence is a fullness way beyond us. And the presence that you feel loving me is your presence that loves life itself. Just be that. That's all it is. Coming here is a wonderful thing, and I know it's a reward on some level. When I go to sit with other teachers, you know, it's like there's something so remarkable that comes from doing that. But it shouldn't be waiting for that to happen to give you the moment-to-moment joy of your own life. That's all. You know, and or to mistake coming to a class as the core of your spiritual work. Because ultimately, the core of your spiritual work is what I was going to say right now, but it will be right now when you've gone from here. It will always be right now. So that's really what it takes. And you know what I'm talking about. It's, you know, the love, you know, the end of Ghost, the love inside, you take it with you. That's really what it is. Oh, thank you. Anyone else? Thank you.